Okay, I'm Paul Hale, but also known as Paul Quedas. And I've got an album out just recently. It's called Batters and Blues. So I'm a blues artist and a recording artist. I've written, recorded all of my own music, and I've been on a long journey to get this far.
Yeah, and I feel like I've kind of like, yeah, we tapped into some of your early journey, because elsewhere on another radio station, I interviewed you and we worked out it was 10 years ago. Back then, we were sort of billing you as Paul the singing ambulance driver. That's it. That must seem like a long time ago.
Anything to get some press.
I think we need to introduce that piece with a casualty theme tune and everything. We went flat out for you on that one.
I think you did as well, yeah. But wow. I did used to work in the ambulance service, but a lot's happened. I had problems health wise and a lot of life changes, and I ended up from being an ambulance driver to living in Ibiza for 3 years. So,
bit of a change.
That is definitely a bit of a change.
It is
probably better weather as well.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's definitely in the moment.
What are your sort of memories? How did you sort of find working for the ambulance service? How was that sort of time of your life?
It was a good time overall. I mean, obviously, very rewarding job. There was some tough times and some fun times, and it was all about helping everybody out. I think day on, I think I was still, 10 years ago, fairly youngish. And there was a lot more that I wanted to do with my life. And for me, it became quite restrictive with shifts and things. And mentally, it was quite taxing after a while. And I think it really, for that sort of a job, you really have to be mentally prepared for it. And even when you think you're used to it, you're not really, in the back of your head, you're not really used to it, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine, the sort of things you've come into contact with, and especially for people that were doing that job now as well with COVID, and putting themselves at risk. It's just horrific, the sort of stories you're hearing. So
that's it. Yeah, there was always some sort. Even when I was in the service back then, there was always something new that would come along. There would like be a new virus, but this is obviously a lot more serious. And although it's good to put your bit in, I think I did my bit then. And we'd say I'm lucky that I'm not in it now, but at the same time, if I was there, I'd put everything in that I could.
How do you balance doing a job like that, though, with getting into music and starting a music career? Because that must be challenging.
Well, that's it. At the time, there was quite a lot of different shifts and things. I tried my best to put bands together, but there wasn't a lot of time. So I used to record a lot of music and ideas and music actually in the car before the shift. The start of the shift, I'd always have a guitar in the back of the car and I'd play ideas through, and then when I had time in between everything else, I'd try and record things as well. But obviously, moving to Ibiza, then I had lots of time, so I managed to produce the first album within those couple of years.
So the first album was Gypsy Soul, and what was that feeling like, sort of having an album and your first album? That must have been a good feeling.
It's pretty amazing. Back in the day when I was younger, it would have been getting into HMV or somewhere to actually see
the actual physical product.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Just to put it into perspective for the older listeners, to have your record next to, Led Zeppelin or these other artists. And it was the equivalent of that. The minute it was on Spotify, I couldn't believe that it was actually there, that I could see it and that I could mix it around with other songs. And, even now when it plays in my playlist along other songs that I love, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad that it's there. That's number four plays.
How easy was it to actually make an album and get started? Did you have a deal? Did you make it all on your own? Or?
I've done everything by myself. I mean, along the way, as most artists do, they try and get signed and get in, knock on the door, try and get in there. But I got on to just learning about mixing and different software and how to master tracks. And I really got into the whole sound engineering side of it. And I just learned it as I went along, really. Would listen to other people that I liked and their sound. And if I had tracks that were similar, I'd try and mix it and make it sound that way. But it's been a long journey, a sharp learning curve, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like you're learning all the time, I suppose, or picking up ideas and sharing ideas and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it all develops. And it's been great since I got newer software, because I could actually get that sound that I wanted, the real sort of bluesy sounds and all those sounds that I wanted. And when I did Gypsy Soul, what I did was I went back to old music that I couldn't get the sound that I wanted, then re-recorded everything and did it exactly how it was meant to be in my head.
Yeah. So you've been playing the guitar for 25 years. What was it that kind of inspired you to first pick up the guitar? How did it all begin?
I was never loads into music when I was younger, but I watched a program. I think it had Eric Clapton and Bruce Springsteen. I can't even say it. A Loose Window Screen on a show together. It was like a documentary show, and they were both singing, and they would hum a tune and then play that on the guitar. I thought, oh, that's amazing, that is. And I just got this buzz for the guitar. I really wanted to do it. And my mum said to me, yeah, you can have the money for it, but it's only going to go in the cupboard. You're not going to play it properly. So that was it then. So I'm still trying to prove her wrong.
The challenge was set. I picked up a guitar myself, and it's like, I had no idea how to play the guitar, but I saw this guitar in the charity shop.
I was just going to say that I actually tried to learn guitar for about 18 months in school, during like year 8, 9. And okay, I was like, I can't do this. It's really difficult. And it really hurts your fingers.
It actually feels like, you know, even though I don't know what I'm doing with guitar, just to kind of like, you know, just kind of make a sound out of it, it's quite sort of good to relieve stress and things like that, I find.
Yeah, it's a good way. I think when I was younger, I liked to escape playing. I'd play the guitar and sit there for hours just playing and teaching myself. And it was a good escape from everything else in life, you know.
Yeah. And what was the first song you played on the guitar? Can you remember that?
Oh, I think it went like this.
Yeah, start off with something cool rather than like twinkle, twinkle, little
exactly. Spot,
something like that.
And I guess... I guess for someone like you that's very creative and has your own albums out, can you remember the first song you wrote on the guitar?
Oh, that would be a good one. To be honest with you, I've written so much music. I've got old tapes of things that I've done in my mum and dad's loft and all sorts of stuff. And I honestly can't remember the first song that I wrote. I'll have to go through it and look if I can find that TDK somewhere.
How do you feel when you go, you know, to revisit those old tapes and listen to that sort of early material that you were producing? What's that feeling like?
It's kind of like a time capsule. You listen to it and then you remember back to that day when you were recording it. For me, some of the tapes are quite boring. There's just me trying this idea over and over and over again. Jimmy, I think soon I'll have to go through those tapes, see if there's something I can dwindle out of there. Maybe I can release it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The early years or something.
The disappointing years.
40 years. And you attended the Academy of Contemporary Music in Guildford, I believe, didn't you?
I did, yeah. That was a pretty amazing experience as well. I mean, they're still going now, but when I first started, it was the first year that they'd opened. So we were the kind of like the guinea pigs, I guess. There's a lot of stuff that were right in the coursework as I went along, but I worked with some amazing people.
I mean, there's some real talent. I mean, you look at the talent that's come out of the doors of the ACM in Guildford. I mean, some of the big stars of today, you know, sort of started out there. So it's just amazing.
It is. I work with some people that would come in and do some sessions with us. I work with Pete Friesen from Alice Cooper. Bruce Dickinson from the Little Angels was working at the time. He was a lecturer there. Yngwie Malmsteen, some people from Kula Shaker. There was all sorts of random guests that they would have come in, and it was inspirational.
Yes, absolutely. Sort of mixing with people in industry and getting advice and sharing ideas and things. That's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of takes you back, because when you're the substitute teacher at school or college, you're like, what games can we play? How much can we test them? And then for you, you realise it's someone from a major artist or a major band in the charts and go, maybe not, maybe we'll just learn.
Yeah, I can admit it was a bit daunting at times. You get these massive artists would come up and play and then say, okay, who's going to get up and play next? 24 guitarists would cower and sort of hide in the corner.
And everyone point at you, and there you'll be on the stage.
Yeah.
I know you're going to play some live songs for us. So the first track we're going to hear live is, I believe, Blow My Mind. So tell me about that song first of all.
Well, trying to think. It's about a lot of these pieces on the album are about the transition from in Ibiza to the UK, like playing music and how things have changed. And within Ibiza at the moment, well, not precisely at the moment, but they've changed a lot of the sound laws and a lot of the clubs and the places that we were originally playing live music in, they had to close them down because they couldn't play live music in them anymore. They've reduced sound laws. They don't want people outside after a certain time. And it's basically, this song is written about how, no matter what, that it doesn't matter what you do to the music, whether you try and stop live performance or anything, it's in us. It's always there, and we can't do it. It will always be alive.
Okay, should we have a listen to this then? So you've got your guitar ready, so when you're ready,
take it away. Yeah. Okay. Guitar tone coming through my old headphones, but it sounded them blues, but I never knew it was creeping into my soul. As the years went by, the sun was high, we were playing it every night. Clutching it down, cause it's not dead, couldn't kill it, it's keeping us still alive. It's a guitar, I'm gonna string it, I'm shredding it every night. I got one chance left and I'm gonna take it, gonna do things right. When the last bell rings, gonna come out by and kick the dirt into your eyes. Songs. Don't feel in lost, never came at a cost. I'm ready to start again. I never understood why I felt so good to play right through the pain. Cause I'm not dead, couldn't kill it. It's kicking and still alive. If that's a guitar, I'm gonna string it. I'll be strumming it every night. One chance left and I'm gonna take it, gonna do things right. When the last bell rings, gonna come out fine and kick the dirt into your
you can really hear the bluesy influence on that. That's really, really cool. So
thank you.
Yeah. That is really good. I'm going to be singing that or humming that all day. Probably humming it.
Dude, that's going to go down in history as I think the first time we've ever done live music on Zoom. I think that's this is the time we're living, isn't it?
You can hear it, okay, then.
It was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
We're having our fingers crossed for a stable internet connection through that one. So thank you for that. So that's from the second album, Battered and Blues. And let's look at your surname, Curidas, Paul Curidas. And that means strings in Spanish, I believe, does it?
Cuerdas. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Strings. Yeah, yeah. I knew I'd get it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, strings or chords. Yeah, it was sort of kind of like when I was in Ibiza, I thought I need to come up with something a bit more Spanish. And the minute I put that name in there, it was like this instant thing. I could get more work out there. I thought, oh, he's a bit Spanish. He must be Spanish because I look it anyway. But what's your name? It's Paul Cuerdas. Oh, yeah. Que sí, sí.
Say it with Spanish accent, Chico.
That's it, yeah.
Makes you sound exotic and everything. And am I right thinking you've played at the Royal Albert Hall?
I have, yeah. It was a long time ago when I was about 15, I think, 14 or 15. We did like a – it was at the school, actually. I had a little jazz trio thing, and we entered the auditions for a Rotary Club concert that was happening there. Mm-hmm. It was all of the other people that were playing there at the time were these school bands or orchestras, these big things, and then we were these just four little spotty teenagers and playing this jazz music.
I love that. I mean, that's the ultimate, the Albert Hall. I mean, to play at such an iconic venue, that must have been amazing.
It was all downhill from there.
it would be top of my CV if I were you.
it's always on there. I might have been young, but it's always on there. Like it was yesterday.
And as we mentioned, I interviewed you elsewhere on a radio station pretty much exactly 10 years ago. Time just flies. And back then, I was laughing sort of listening back to the interview. You were giving out your MySpace address and things like that. Just like MySpace, wow.
God, do you remember? Yeah. I think I've got a space somewhere, but because my surname at the time was, I think that the account was called Hailstorm or something.
Yeah.
Hailstorm with an ED on it, but there just so happens to be like a massive rock band in America called Hailstorm without the ED. So I've got loads of hits on there. I'm like, oh, I'm doing really well. It's just people just happen to be going there by mistake and then going to the real thing.
And then realizing and going, okay.
And then realise they prefer you more. Yeah,
yeah. This definitely isn't the guy we're looking for.
And then back then, 2011, you were talking about going on the X Factor. I think you just applied to go on the X Factor. So what was that?
It's good. I could really diss X Factor for those that are listening at the moment, but it's kind of the process involved with X Factor is it's not what you see on the TV. So I did get as far as some of the auditions, but a lot of the auditions they don't show on the TV. So, but they obviously for TV they want a story and they want it was always like your music's good, but there's no backstory there. But you know, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't anything that they could put sad music behind. You know,
I'd heard
a lot of anything. That's got to be a story, isn't it?
yeah. Well, you know, a bit of music in the background. You make anything sound bad.
Casualty theme tune. That will do it.
that's it, yeah.
I had heard that there were several layers to the X Factor auditions and it's not easy to do.
I'll go into the detail of it, but you'll go through a panel of producers that decide what they want on the TV and then it's made to look like everybody walks straight on from the street, but it's not that way.
No, it's a lot more to it, isn't it? What you see on the TV is like the edited highlights, I suppose.
So. That's it, yeah. And they're looking for a certain something, not just the music, but an interesting personality. And I don't think I was interested enough.
Do you know what? I was quite pleased when we stopped having the sort of the Christmas number one every year was like the X Factor winner. It got a bit boring.
Yeah.
It was a bit tedious, wasn't it? I think there was one year where everybody voted for Rage Against the Machine and they got that in there instead.
Yeah, that made me laugh. I enjoyed because we're working on other radio stations and I often had to play the Christmas number one during the Christmas week, usually the day after. But the year it was Rage Against the Machine, I couldn't hide my delight announcing it was something else.
That's going to wake us up. That's something that's not girls allowed.
That's it, yeah. There were a lot of happy DJs that year.
So you swapped your ambulance for a delivery van, so you're a delivery driver, that's your day job, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to do what you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
You're on the front line, aren't you, in the pandemic, you know, being out there as a key worker.
It's a funny thing because we've, like, right from the beginning, it's like, oh, there's lockdown, and for me, it feels like hardly any time's passed because I've been doing exactly the same thing every day. because we actually supply alcohol, but we supply hand sanitizers and things as well. But so they kept the business running and it boomed because everybody was at home. They all wanted some alcohol. And,
or hand sanitizer or both.
That's it, yeah. Both. Either would do, really, whichever's the cheapest. But yeah, it just kept going and going. So I've just been working basically 8 to 5 every day, every day of the week, just like normal. So for me, I've not really seen a lot of changes, whereas everybody else, like my wife, she's at home working, and everybody else is more confined than I have been. I've just been going back and forth to work every day like I normally would.
But what I love is the fact that you've been spending your time on the road kind of working on music, and actually as you're driving your delivery van around, you've actually come up with a song sort of based on that.
I did, yeah. It's funny, I've got these, if anybody ever listened through the voice notes on my phone, it'd be hilarious. But I kind of, when I get these ideas, I just turn the phone on and just start recording. And I came up with this little bass line idea while I was driving in a traffic queue on the A406, which is, everybody knows, the North Circular, the A406. And I thought, you know, it could work. And I started tapping on the dashboard and doing this crappy beatboxing and recorded that. And then when I got home, I could actually decipher what I was doing. And I recorded it, recorded the idea properly into like bass and drums. And the song is written about the 406, basically, sitting in the traffic jam. But it kind of works, you know.
It's so funny where inspiration comes from. You know, who would have thought? But we're going to play that song now. So let's
have it. Okay.
I saw a blind man walking with his walking stick. Can't see nobody as he's looking on, but he sees his future and the past that's gone. Creeping down the 406, I saw a tall old beggar with his arms outstretched. Can't seem to walk in his brand new shoes, but we all know better than to pay his dues. We've been running around, and I can't stay long in this dirty town. Won't you take another sip? Well, it's just like whiskey, but without the kick.
As John said, it's amazing where inspiration comes from. But what was it like living in Ibiza? Because obviously we all know Ibiza as the party town and probably what it's like in the summer, but the rest of the year, what is it like and what? How did that inspire you? Because I imagine the blue sky will have helped.
Yeah, definitely. When we originally moved there, when we visited Ibiza, I was never really into the club. And I thought, oh, it's this party town thing. And we actually got married out there. And I thought, well, we're going to see what it's like before we get married, obviously. And it was completely different to the way that I thought. And it's very traditional Spanish, some of it. You'd be surprised that the clubbing part of it is probably about, I would probably say about 20% of the actual island itself. It's sort of hidden away. And when you live out there, it's a whole different side to it. It's during the summer, it's quite busy near the beaches and things, but we were set back where we were living up in the hills somewhere. You didn't really get to have to experience that too much apart from when we were working. And during the winter, it's just amazing. Everybody goes home from all of the tourists go home. And it's like somebody lifts up a rock and all the locals come out. They're like, oh, we can come out. It's safe to come out.
Yeah.
And it's really traditional. There's some nice little bars, tapas places that you can eat in, a little bit of live music. And it is an inspirational place.
Yeah, I can imagine. And yeah, like Matt says, the sunshine's got to help. And also, you know, fusing kind of the English and the Ibiza kind of vibes in your music as well, because it gives that sort of an edge, doesn't it?
That's it, yeah. And I'm quite a spiritual person. Spiritually, it was good for me. It made me stronger, and I suppose it was like even though we were working, it was like a holiday and working at the same time. So you had time to open your mind up a little bit more, and that's when I thought I need to get these songs done that I've been working on from before. And I used a lot. I worked and had time to focus on those, because over the winter time in Ibiza, you're not working. You've got 6 months doing nothing, and so I thought, let's just use this productively and rather than getting bored, and actually do something with it.
So talking on Ibiza, you have another song for us that you're gonna play live.
I'm hoping that this is gonna come out okay, because it's on a cigar box guitar.
Okay, so what's a cigar box guitar then?
They always intrigue me. I've always wanted to know the story of a cigar box guitar. I've seen loads, but I've never known how they work.
I've never seen anything like that before. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's basically a three-string guitar, and it's made out of a cigar box, which is like a... It's kind of getting more of the rage now, but it's an old traditional blues instrument, for guys that couldn't afford guitars. But... The volume on it's not great. Hopefully it will come through okay, and I can play the tune to you. Otherwise it'll just be all vocals.
Go for it. Let's try this out.
Hang on a second. Let me just things here. I'll just drop you.
Can I say we're running out of time on the meeting, so if we do get cut off, we'll just come back on the same link. If that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get the song in. We've got 8 minutes, so we should be all right. Okay.
I managed to turn myself upside down, but you're around the right way.
Okay. This Australian remix, is it?
That's the Australian remix of Ibiza Blues. 2 seconds, and I'm ready.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Like a dog all day. Been a long, long road. Been working like a dog all day. It's 16 hours and I ain't even had my pay. She's a mean old lady with nothing but a cold, cold heart. She's a mean old woman with nothing but a cold, cold heart. Take everything you give her and finish you before you start. take until there's nothing left. Everybody wants something, they'll take out until there's nothing left. Got dirty hands, you can wipe until the day you rest. Got dirty hands, you can scrub until the day you rest. Got dirty hands. It's 16 hours and I ain't even had my pay.
That and the Cigar Box guitar was awesome, by the way. It sounded really bluesy, this about Cigar Box guitar. That's not easy to say.
Not really, no. No, it's not.
Oh, it's been really good talking to you today and hearing about sort of your journey and your music.
Yeah.
And the second album is out now. It's called Battered Than Blues. What a great, great title. How do we get hold of the album?
Anywhere you like, really. It's available on Spotify, iTunes, Google, YouTube, anywhere. You can even just Google my name, Paul Cuerdas. You can Google that. It will come up. Funnily enough, there's not many other people called that. So you'll be able to find links through that, yeah.
That's good. We're not going to confuse you with an American rock band or anything then.
No, definitely not. Maybe some Spaniard in the distant Spain somewhere, but be a long way down on Google, I should think.
Brilliant. Yeah. And are you on social media as well, presumably, if we want to check you out?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter as well. I'm on there as well. So, yeah, if you type my name into Google, you'll find everything there. It's on the website and, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, we really enjoyed having our first live gig, as it were, on Zoom with you.
Excellent.
We've never done that before on the programme, so that's one of the first.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
Been one of the best gigs I've been to or I've seen anywhere all year, so thank you very much.
Yeah, the best gig we've been to during the pandemic. Love it. Well, take care, stay safe, and we'll stay in touch.
Okay, great stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later. Thank you, Paul.
See you. Thank you. Bye-bye.